May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pure and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, our rock and our salvation. Amen. You may be seated. We are quickly coming to the end of the Easter season. It's been about a month since Easter Sunday. And our focus has been on the resurrection. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 14 to 17, the resurrection is the cornerstone or the foundation of the Christian faith. That being the case, you know Satan is going to do battle with it. He's going to try to get us to turn away from the resurrection, to not believe it, to not have a focus on it. And as a result, Paul also reminds us that we are in a battle as a result. A spiritual battle. In Ephesians 6:10, he says, we battle not with flesh and blood, but with the spiritual forces of evil. And so in the last 3 weeks, we've seen what Satan likes to use in combating the message of the cross, in combating the message of Easter Sunday. He likes to use lies. And you think back, what was it that the Sanhedrin told the soldiers to say? A lie. Lie and say, he didn't rise, but his disciples came and took the body. And it reminds us in John 8 that Jesus said, when Satan speaks, he lies because it's his native language. In the second week, we saw doubt. Doubt. He likes to sow seeds of doubt. Oh, that didn't really happen. Oh, that's impossible. Nobody could do that. But we have to remember, it's God we're talking about. Almighty God, who created the heavens and earth. The God who spoke and all the universe came into existence. To Him, He can do anything. Last week, we saw His third tool. Spread misunderstanding. Say things that are almost the truth. Say things that maybe just one little word change, such as, and after the third day he will rise, versus on the third day he will rise. So many people have heard that, well, the Bible says that after 3 days he will rise. He didn't rise after 3 days. Well, no, that's not what the Bible says. You've got one wrong word, after. The Bible says on the third day he would rise, and on the third day he did rise. And so the misunderstanding, it's similar to doubt. It's what leads to doubt. And it's also similar to lies. But it contains just a shred of the truth. Today, as you heard in the children's message, our focus will be on fear. Now the context for the gospel. It was Sunday evening, Easter Sunday. Jesus had appeared to Mary. He had appeared to Peter. And He had appeared to the two followers on the road to Emmaus. Those two followers, those two disciples from Emmaus came to Jerusalem. It says the 11 were gathered together. And they shared with the disciples what had happened. It would appear that after they shared, they left. And that Thomas left with them. And that's where our gospel begins. When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. But the focus there is for fear of the Jews. What is fear? If you look at the dictionary, it says a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. So kind of fill in the blank with everything negative you can think of, and it can bring about that impending, distressing emotion. Fear. Why were the disciples afraid? Well, consider. The Jewish leaders had killed Jesus. And the disciples were the followers of Jesus who they killed. Jesus rose. The leaders realized, we have no power over this Jesus guy. We kill him and he comes back. So they told the soldiers to lie. Why tell them to lie? They didn't want the message of the resurrection to get out, because that fulfilled Scripture. The people would see it. They would see Jesus as the Savior. They would follow Jesus and quit going to the temple and paying for their sacrifices. Since they had no power over Jesus, since they had this love of money, which is the root of all evil, and since the disciples are the ones who would most likely share the news of the resurrection, the disciples kind of put it all together. They killed Jesus. They can't kill Jesus. They don't want the resurrection news to get out. They're going to come for us. They're going to kill us because their story is that we stole the body. We broke the seal of Pilate. If we broke the seal of Pilate, then Pilate will kill us because that's the Roman rule. They've set us up to kill us. So they lock themselves in that upper room and it's like, we're not going out on the street. There's probably an APB out on us. They're scared. Why does Satan use fear? Because it's so stinking effective. But also consider this. Fear. Fright. It is not a godly characteristic. It is the antithesis of what we are told in the Bible. If you look in Isaiah 43 verse 5, Matthew 10 verse 28, Mark 5 verse 36, Luke 12 verse 32, and about 30 other locations, we hear this phrase, I quote, fear not, end quote. Being afraid is not the characteristic or a characteristic of a follower of Jesus Christ. And so that's the first thing Satan wants to do is, let's get these Christians to start doing unchristian things. And the first thing is, let's get them afraid. Now, why is fear so effective? Well, because fear consumes both psychologically and physically. Your mind focuses on addressing fear. If there is something that scares you, there is a focus on it. In fact, you talk to psychologists, they've even broken it down into there is an immediate high response, and then there is an immediate psychological low response. A high response that's kind of, deal with this right now, and then kind of after you start dealing with it, and now we've got to start thinking about what are the repercussions of what I have just done to deal with the fear in the first place. And so your brain just starts going, bleh! But at the same time, physically, fear hits, your body releases chemicals into the bloodstream, especially this great thing called adrenaline, for the fight or flight syndrome. And so when I picked up that box and Billy tells me it's a rattlesnake, and I'm at first, yeah, right, Billy. And then I lift it up and I look and, oh my gosh, he's right. I mean, it was almost instant. The muscles start quivering. Why? Because there's been this push of adrenaline and who knows what else. Well, Jim knows what else. But, I mean, this all this stuff gets pumped in and your muscles are set, ready, and let's run. Or let's duke it out. And they're just waiting for the brain to catch up, which is going crazy, to finally say, move. When I did take the step back, second step, and then ran, Billy laughed. And he said, and I quote, "I've never seen you run that fast." I mean, what brought this all together, I mean, with the children's message, I was still trying to think of what to use for fear. But when we were hiking this past week, on Thursday, we went up to Clouds Rest. That's up there at 9,900 feet. I was really sore and tired. We're coming down, and it's kind of funny. The kids had asked, what would we do if we run into a rattlesnake? And I said, well, if he's there close by, stop, get away quickly, go opposite direction of wherever his head is, get yourself out of the situation. And so we're walking down the trail. We come around a corner. There's a big rock. Paul's leading the way. He goes around the rock. And as he goes around the rock, we hear this sound. And the next boy, his name is Canaan, he jumps and screams at the same time. But when he jumped, he's walking, he comes around, he jumps, and he jumped up on top of this rock. This rock was like 5 feet tall. He jumped up, it's like he hit it and bounced. And he landed on the ground here, and then he bounced into another one. In less than a second and a half, the kid was 15 feet away. It was amazing. And then everything in his brain starts catching up to what he just experienced. Fear. It freezes our brain, or it gets our brain so focused on one thing, we don't see anything around. And physically, we're just an absolute mess. Of, I've got to run for my life or fight for my life. Now consider the disciples. The angels had testified that Jesus had risen. The angels had told them, go to Galilee, he will meet you there like he told you. Jesus had told them in advance, I'm going to be crucified, I will rise, go ahead to Galilee, I will meet you there. They didn't. And now he's risen and the angels tell them, go to Galilee, he will meet you there just as he told you. Did they go? No, they didn't go. Peter, Mary, two other disciples, they'd seen Jesus. They had seen that he was risen. They knew his power. And yet, they are in a room locked in fear. And no ministry was being done. Everything stopped. And if Satan can get us to stop, then he's won. And that's why he uses fear. Now, what is the antidote to fear? Well, Jesus tells us, quote, peace be with you. End quote. What is the answer to fear? Peace. Why peace? Well, with Jesus, there is no need for fear. Jesus overcame death. So the disciples shouldn't be afraid, and neither should we. There was no need for fear because Jesus really was present with them. Did they have to worry about the Jewish leaders coming and attacking them? No. Jesus was there. They couldn't have done anything. There was no need for fear. It really was Jesus. Touch me. Give me some food to eat so you can see I'm not a ghost. It's really me. There was no need to fear. But yet, it's like it didn't sink in. And so he repeats, "Peace be with you." But he adds to it this time. Remember, in fear, they were staying in the room. The antidote for fear is peace. Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathes on them. The antidote? Peace. Know that God is in control. Know that Jesus is the Savior. And quit sitting in fear. Go. We've been sent as God sent His Son, Jesus. What does that mean? Well, He sent Jesus to save. And God is sending us to save. To save people lost in their sin. Lost in their lack of a Savior. We are to actively engage in ministry. Remember what the disciples on the road to Emmaus said to Jesus? They thought that Jesus was the Redeemer and that He was mighty in word and deed before God and man. If we are sent as God sent Jesus, that means we are to be mighty in word and deed. Well, I saw a lot of that good deed stuff this week. But we have to make sure that we are also mighty in word, in sharing the good news of Jesus. And probably the biggest thing that we have to overcome is fear. Fear. And so Peter writes to us in 1 Peter 3, verses 14 to 15. "Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." We are to set Jesus Christ apart as Lord. Set Him as holy. That means He's the only one. And we are to always be prepared to give a defense for our faith, to share why we believe what we believe. And what's the effect of having no fear but being focused on engaging in that ministry? Well, again, Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord." When we set apart Christ as Lord, and we engage in His ministry, actively engage in His ministry, we will have that peace. A peace that passes all human understanding. A peace that when there's a death, we're not overcome by it. We're sad. We mourn. But at the end of it all, we smile and we say, "Thanks be to God that we knew this person, that we had the time with this person, and that we know they're in heaven and we're going to see them again." And you know, that's something I shared with one of the boys from Wisconsin. His name was AJ. He was riding in my truck going up to Sacramento for the flight back. And he, you know, "Pastor Matt, this was probably the best week of my life. Thank you. I don't know if I'll ever see you again." I said, "Oh, AJ, then if you're saying that, this hasn't been the best week of your life. What do you..." And that's all he got out was, "What do you..." And he goes, that's right. We'll be in heaven together, won't we? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If we don't see each other here, we'll see each other there. Then we're going to do some serious mountain climbing. But I hope that we see each other here again. If you're ever in California, look me up. And if I'm ever in Wisconsin, I think I'll look you up. But we can have a peace of knowing we're part of God's family. He loves us. And we will together be in His presence, in His love forever. With that promise, is there anything to fear? No. May God's peace be with you. In His name, amen.